It's February the 9th, 2011. You're moving at the speed of creativity with Wesley Fryer, narrowcasting from Jackson, Mississippi. Well, good afternoon, and welcome to a podcast from the 2011 Mecca Conference, which I inaccurately decoded as an acronym. It is the Mississippi Educational Computing Association, hence the C in the name. And this was a fantastic presentation by Dr. Carl Owens. And Carl is a professor at the Tennessee Technological University, the other TTU. I know TTU is Texas Tech University primarily, but in Tennessee, it's Tennessee Tech. And the title of his presentation is Cool Tools for the Classroom. I will include in the podcast show notes a link to my text notes from his session, which include direct links to, I think, all of the different gadgets, products, and accessories that he talked about. And Carl is an Apple Distinguished Educator and is one of the most innovative teacher preparation educators, teacher educators, that I have had the pleasure to meet and get to know. So Carl was among those on the 21st Century Learning Conference cadre that came to Hangzhou, China, in October of 2009, and I had met Carl previously, but, you know, it is just, it's so awesome to hang around people who are passionate and who are smart, and it's always fun to hang out with folks and listen to the sessions when they are sharing information about things that they love. So Carl is a very avid musician and digital music artist. He is an amazing photographer, videographer. The videos that his pre-service teachers are doing and the curriculum content that they produce, as far as I know, you know, it would rival anything that any university anywhere is doing. The way in which they check out their equipment, which I'll talk about in the podcast and make that available for students, is just fantastic. So, without further ado, it is back to the Mecca Conference today on February the 9th, 2011 in Jackson, Mississippi with Dr. Carl Owens.
I am Professor and Director of Technology in the College of Education at Tennessee Tech University. I'm going to make it work tomorrow. Since yesterday, we obviously had some problems with the sound, so we're going to have to hold it this way. We are a teacher preparation program. We currently have about 2,000 undergraduate students, and one of our major focuses in the college is production of instructional materials. And so we do that in a variety of different ways. I coordinate the Learning Resources Center, which is an area. Maybe this mic. Yeah. How about this app? So we have about 2,000 students, and our Learning Resources Center is the, I guess, the main area where our students go to find and utilize a number of these different materials that I'm going to show today. We are very fortunate in our college to have a $2 million endowment, which allows us to explore and utilize lots of different production tools. And so a lot of the technologies that I'm going to show and demonstrate today are technologies that are tried and true for us. On average, one of our digital video cameras gets checked out 10 times a day. We offer students the use of laptop computers, digital seal cameras, digital video cameras, keyboard controllers for music creation. And in a number of ways, we're very unique in how we service our teacher education, pre-service and in-service students. For example, you can come to our facilities, and if you don't have a laptop, you can check one out for an hour, for a day, a week, a month, or your entire student teaching semester. So in the core part of our program, we begin developing these multimedia skills, and when our candidates go out to do their student teaching, or actually become practicing teachers, we like to think that they're prepared to go into almost any situation and hit the ground running. So the pre-sale today, I'm going to show a range of different tools, and we're going to visit some websites, and hopefully you'll enjoy. Okay, let's try this again. Okay. It seems to be going, it seems to be just going in and out. I don't know what's going to be the best way for me to make this happen. But anyway, the base tools that I'm going to use today, MacBook Pro, and because I'm using the house sound system, I won't use the Bose Companion speakers. But this is the sound system that we've kind of standardized on in all of our teaching facilities for just classroom use. It's a fairly high-quality sound system, and actually, as time continues, I think we've started upgrading now to the Bose Companion 5s, which is two stereo speakers and a subwoofer. And for a standard classroom, if you are integrating multimedia, if you're playing videos, if you're using the web for anything that has anything to do with sound, we found that it's a fine sound system, and again, in our case, they just seem to work with no issues. I also have another tool that I talked about yesterday. So if you're a teacher and you are utilizing like just a standalone computer, for example, here I have the MacBook, you know that the sound is not so rich from just the basic computer itself. So one of the tools that we've started taking a look at is this little subwoofer. It's called a bass jump. And I'm going to attempt to just disconnect from the house sound and just kind of show you how this guy works. So it's from a company called 12 South, and it's called the bass jump. And I will step out of the Prezo for a second. It has a nice interface for the bass jump. And currently it's, I'll turn it off. And let's go back and go out to the iTunes, and I'm actually just playing some music from the web without the bass jump, so you can kind of hear it. It's not so rich, it's not so full, and I can turn the I'll open the preferences so you can see it, and I'll turn it on. So at your teacher station, it just adds a more rich and full sound to presentations that you might be utilizing, especially ones that take advantage of low frequencies. So this little guy has a bass jump, and it's from a company called 12 South. So one of the things that we do a lot of is podcasting. Actually, we produce the range of a variety of different types of multimedia. One of the things that we focus on are podcasts. And as a person who's been responsible for the creation of these multimedia tools for about 30 years, I'm all about quality. You can have the greatest podcast or idea for a podcast, but if it's noisy or distracting, no one's going to pay attention. So what we really want to do is to use a set of tools that allow us to create podcasts that are going to be engaging. And when I teach podcasting in class, one of the things that I tell the students, a measure for your podcast should be, it should sound like NPR. And if it doesn't, then you've done something wrong. And the range of tools that we have allow us to do that. So we use, as a vehicle for accessing those, iTunes. And so I'm certain most of you are familiar with iTunes and podcasts. And we create a lot of those podcasts in GarageBand, in iLife 11. It's again on the math side, and I noticed as I read the program, there were a number of presentations that kind of talked about not using Apple-oriented products. But what we have found in the areas where we have lots of PC users, my recommendation has been, you know, if you want to do this quickly and easily with a number of different students, you know, get a Mac. You can get in and get your podcast done, and those can be exported so that they can be used by PCs. And that has worked very well in a variety of different situations. A simple interface for podcasting in GarageBand. So if you're familiar with GarageBand, you know, normally I've in the past I've done some demos, but that's probably going to take too much time today with the range of tools that I have to show. So some simple things that you can do to enhance podcasting, a couple of different microphones that we use. We like the Snowflake, and again, it's a blue microphone product. It's a tiny little podcasting microphone. It's USB, and for our elementary grades, actually, we use both the Snowball and the Snowflake, and typically, we'll set up a room, a closet, or some area that's quiet, so that if you are creating this podcast, and again, we have third, fourth, fifth graders who are doing great jobs with this, and when we go through the range of the demo, if it's noisy, it is distracting. And by simply using a really nice, high-quality external microphone, you can enhance that podcast immensely. So this little guy, it does a great job, and it's pretty straightforward. You just plug it in. The Mac will automatically recognize it, and they can take a beating, which we've never had one fail in probably the 4 years we've been using these guys. And again, that's also a measure for us, you know, how well, price point first, and then how well can these guys go in and out of our facility without us having to repair them. So the Snowflake, and then another one, if you are, a lot of our students are not tied to creating podcasts where they actually go into a room and create. Let's say you're doing a podcast where you're interviewing people in the community, or you're doing a project about potentially guys who served in World War II or Vietnam, and you need to get to those people. We use iPods and iPod touches and an external mic that connects to those devices. We use the Mikey. Which is this app, and it attaches to the bottom of the the iPod. It automatically opens a voice recording in the iPod, and is a really simple, easy interface. Captures these as audio files, and then when you come back to your Mac or PC, you can download those files and incorporate them into your podcast. So the Mikey for generations 1, 2, 3 of iPod, and the Mikey 2 for the most recent versions of the iPod Touch and iPhone for that matter. So this is going to be really neat as well. In the area of science, we've been using for a number of years the ProScope. We first started with the ProScope and then sort of graduated to the ProScope High Resolution. It's a digital microscope, and I'll step out for just a second and demo this guy. So it's a hand... It's a handheld microscope. And the ProScope CSI kit comes with three lenses, a 50, a 100, and I think a 200X lens. And it's USB. This guy is both Mac and PC friendly. Relaunch that. Okay. So here it is. I'm
using the 50X lens. And so skin, I could compare different fabrics using the 50X lens. My pants. And for a little humor, looks like I shaved today, but when I put it to a 50X lens, you can see maybe I didn't do such a good job. And in case you've ever not seen the locked hair up close, it's kind of what it looks like. So the ProScope, this site, theproscope.com, Bodolin has a ton of lesson plans on how to integrate this guy into teaching and learning. And you'll see that in a second, the website for this. Really high quality product. If you purchase the CSI kit, it comes with a number of additional devices. Here's a microscope adapter. Here's the 200X lens microscope adapter. And if you're doing time-lapse video with it, there's a little stand here that you can mount it. So a really neat capability for the ProScope.
How much is it?
So the base device is $299. And then depending upon if you purchase the CSI kit, at Bodolin, they have the whole price range there. And you can purchase it with one lens or the full lens set. And then they have a new tool, which is really neat also. So there's the ProScope. I'll go back. ProScope. So www.bodolin.com. ProScope HR is where you can find it on the web. And then their newest device is the ProScope Mobile. And I'll just play the video. This guy's pretty impressive.
Introducing ProScope Mobile.
Sure. Yeah, I had disconnected it because I was using that, so here we go.
Okay.
Digital microscope to work wirelessly.
Sorry about that.
iPad, iPhone, and iPod Touch. ProScope Mobile creates its own Wi-Fi network. So wherever you are, you can view live video and capture still images on 253 devices simultaneously with one ProScope Mobile. That's like it too. ProScope Mobile from Mobile Technologies. Now shipping everything.
So really neat concept. It looks just like this guy. It creates its own Wi-Fi network. So if your students are using iPod Touches, iPhones, or iPads, it transmits from the ProScope out to those Wi-Fi devices. And I think he mentioned 253. When we've used it, we typically have just a class set of like 21 people. But I can assure you it works great. It's an incredible tool. And if I get to do this next year, hopefully I'll have it to demonstrate. So one of the things that we deal with sometimes is teachers who have materials that they've used that might be in video form, potentially VHS, S-video, an old S-video camera, that you're interested in, utilizing in like the modern era. So the next range of tools that I'm going to talk about kind of allow us to do that. So the first one for TV capture, the device is called the ITV Hybrid. And so you could utilize this. Basically, you install the software on your Mac, either at school if you have a cable run, if you're using cable in the classroom, or at home. And so it has an app connector for cable television and a USB on the other end. And so you just connect your cable feed into this device, plug it into your computer. It'll automatically go out and search for all the available channels that you have. And very much like if you have Comcast or if you have DirecTV, the guide for what you can capture shows up on your computer screen. And I talk about this device because one of the, I think, little used resources that teachers have access to is cable in the classroom. A ton of television partners that allow very liberal recording of off-air programs for teachers to use. And I'll point to that website in just a second. But in the past, and we've been doing this for a number of years, for example, CNN Newsroom, the History Channel, there you can go to the website and find out who all the partners are. And then that list will tell you, let's say, you know, there's a program about archaeology on the History Channel, and it comes on at 2 a.m. You can program the application at 2 a.m. to go out and record that. And it will tell you, you can hold it for like a month or 6 months, a year, or you can keep it forever. And so when it captures, it stores it to your hard drive and compresses it also. So a really, really neat device. In the olden days, or in those days, when we would do this in the past, typically the librarian was responsible for setting a VCR to capture that, and then you had to take it to the class. And this just really automates that process. So if you wanted to do a series over time, the software allows you to capture that, and it's a really, really great tool. There is another companion product now, I was reading on the web. It's called the H264. It simply allows you to speed up that process by which the video is compressed. And that's also another Elgato product. So at Elgato.com, you can find both this guy, the ITV, and that H264 video converter. Now there's also an app at the App Store that allows you, in conjunction with this guy tied into your computer, you can watch anything, or watch live television, or if you have archived programs, say this machine was sitting at my home, I could utilize that the ITV app for $5 to access any of that in a Wi-Fi or 3G environment. So let's say I captured it at home, I forgot my laptop, and I want to utilize that in class, then I could use the iPad from school to play back any of that content that I've captured. So $5 extends the capability of this guy. I was mentioning earlier, sometimes we have lots of content that might be on VCR. You may have shot something on like a camcorder, and you're wanting to utilize that. Elgato makes another product. It's called Video Capture. So it has your standard RCA connectors, yellow for video, red and white for audio, and then USB. So if you had old VCR tapes you wanted to convert to digital, you simply plug the output of the VCR into this guy, plug it in. There's a piece of software that would allow you to bring those into the modern era. And this one's called the Video Capture. Just really straightforward, simple device. You plug it in. You open the piece of software, you hit record on the computer and play on the device, and it'll capture it. It is a real-time capture, so if it's 30-minute program or hour program, that's the time that it takes it to capture it. So that's the Elgato video. You know, I forget. Somebody Google that.
$100.
$100. Thanks, Wes. And then the sight cable in the classroom, which I talked about earlier. So here we are, cable in the classroom. If you haven't looked at this site, and I encourage all of you to do this. How many people have cable TV at home? Okay. And I'm curious, how many of you have cable provided in your schools, cable television? Maybe I should ask how many do not. Okay. One of the little known secrets is if you have a cable provider in your community, in their charter, they are required to provide free cable television to every school in the United States. And I know sometimes when I say that, people go like, ooh, but it's true. You probably hear that message from time to time, maybe twice a year. You know, we're your cable provider, and if you have any comments concerning how we operate our business, you can come in and tell us that. Well, one of the provisions for cable television is that, you know, they have to wire every classroom in the country. And in our school district, they did it without a fight. I've seen other places where people protested, but ultimately they did get it. And there's no charge, should be no charge for that service, for them to run the wire and provide that to every classroom. And so to that end, that's why they also do this service, so that you can get at that programming. So you can read all about that at the website, cableintheclassroom.com. A really, really great resource. And for most of the partners in Cable in the Classroom, they also provide lesson plans. For example, CNN Newsroom is a really popular current events kind of program. It's one of those ones that airs about 2 o'clock in the morning. So in that case, you need the ITV hybrid so you could capture that and play it back in class. But just a range of support materials, lesson plans. There's a monthly guide that shows you out for the full month what's coming on what channel. It plays in all 4 time zones, and it also has that copyright information, whether you can keep it with the duration that you can hold that programming. So that's Cable in the Classroom in conjunction with these TV-related things that we're talking about. An older technology that I still like and I still think is cool is a device called the Radio Shark. It allows you to record local radio. And I had an English teacher a few years ago. We were doing this prezo, and she actually had her students, one of their activities was to listen to NPR, and they had to write a critique on NPR. So what she started using this device for was to off-air record local programming. Now, NPR is on the web, and you can find it lots of other places. But many communities have special programs that they do for schools, where they talk about, in our school this week, or things that are happening in a local community. And that's probably not going to be on the web. And so this device, the Radio Shark, again, a USB antenna, simply allows you to capture local radio stations in your area. And a very similar interface to your DVR, you program the channels that you want. And let's say NPR comes on at 6 till 7 on 94.3 or whatever your channel is, it'll go out and automate that process and capture those for you daily. So a really neat device, even though it's discontinued. I was checking on the web, and just because it's discontinued doesn't mean that we still can't use it. I think I've seen this guy now for as cheap as $30. So if that would be a need, this is a great device for that purpose. Let's see. So those of you who know me, I'm really hugely involved in music production. We use GarageBand for the creation of copyright-free, royalty-free music. And I presented a number of sessions here over the years about using GarageBand in the classroom for music creation. And so some support devices that we use. I remember years ago when I first came, I brought a huge controller about this size, and we were talking about, creating music using that guy. Well, of course, in time, everything becomes miniaturized. So this little guy now is a controller, and it allows me to go in and augment some of those loops that are in GarageBand. And it's a controller. This one looks like a piano. But if you've worked in GarageBand, there are thousands of loops there that can be modified. So I can use this guy to trigger drums, pianos, synthesizers, voices, and the like. And there are actually 2 of these, the Korg Nano Key and the Nano Pad. And for one of our projects we did a few years ago, we had special needs populations that had difficulty manipulating the physical keyboard because there were so many. You can use the little pad controller to trigger those sounds as well. Before I do the demo, the Jam Packs for GarageBand really expand the capability of that program immensely. I think the base set of loops is around 4,000, but using the Jam Packs, there's like voices, instruments of the symphony, world instruments, remix tools, and I forget what the 5th one is, but they hugely expand the capability of GarageBand far beyond just the basic set. So if you have need to create some symphonic things or world music sounds, the Jam Packs are great for making that happen. So I've opened GarageBand, and this is a pretty simple interface. I simply connect the controller, and I have, it's going to tell me that my number of instruments have changed. So the first track is just beats. Or a synth. Or a piano. So I can use this little guy, $49, and empower either myself as a teacher or my students to be even more creative. So the Korg Nano Key. There was a question yesterday about GarageBand-like applications for the PC, so I went out to the web, and there are actually two active applications that are GarageBand-like apps for the PC. One of them is called Mixcraft, and so you can Google that, and I think it was around $100. And the one that I was familiar with prior to this, which is kind of a loops-based creation, is Session by M-Audio. And again, it's, if you've worked in GarageBand or seen it, loops are predefined pieces of music, and they all carry that same copyright-free, royalty-free creation space. So M-Audio Session and Mixcraft for doing this similar type of production on a PC. A couple of other tools that I've demonstrated from time to time. This device is a Pulse Smart Pen. And it allows you to write and audio, you can write with an audio accompaniment. So let's say I'm a student, professor's or teacher's lecturing. I can take notes and record. The pen has a built-in microphone. And I can save up to 200 hours of audio to the pen. I go back to the booklet where I've written, and I can tap and play that back. And so it's a little too complicated to show in the demo, but I've gone out to the website, so let's take a quick look at their video.
Hey, this is the Echo Smart Pen from LabScribe.
It's a smart pen, but it makes me look smart.
When I'm in class, it remembers everything that I hear, write, and draw.
You tend to draw a lot.
To use it? Just tap record, write down your key points. It captures everything, so you can get important stuff. Tap stop, tap your notes, so you can get important stuff.
Meeting starts, I tap record, and just jot down the big points.
Client calls me up, so here are my notes. Find it, replay it. Oh, I call him back.
He's like, don't you remember that? I said, yeah, you know those meetings where everyone's talking, blah, 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 blah.
Blah, 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 blah.
And no one seems to remember what anyone else said. I just connect my smart pen, search my notes, and bingo. Easy access to notes and audio. I can share them with anyone.
The Echo Smart Pen from LabScribe. It helps me get the important stuff.
Share key information with everyone.
I just need to remember what my thoughts are.
The Echo Smart Pen from LabScribe. It records what you hear and links to what you write and draw so you can find and get what you need. And get what you need. LabScribe. Tap it, get it.
So that's a LabScribe smart pen. Another device, we have had an ongoing commitment to special needs populations in our Learning Resources Center for a number of years. In Tennessee, we're fortunate. We have a large area that's funded by the state of Tennessee for assistive technology. And we've received about $100,000 over the last 5 years to purchase devices that meet that need for our students, and we integrate those devices into our curriculum. And one of the neat ones that I brought along with me this year, it's called the Crown Language Translator. And maybe what I'll do is, well, this is the device. I'll go out and show you the video related to this guy. Thank you. So what she's doing, she's entering a word, and when she enters the word, types the word in with the pen, what it'll do is it'll actually bring up the person who signs that word. A real video. So their video is really not so great, but it's a large room, so it's probably easier to show you here. So this is the crown. Sign language translator. It's a pretty neat tool. It's $299. As I mentioned earlier, we do lots of production, and we've done lots of production over the years. We've sort of gone through a number of different types of camcorders. We used Canon, the Canon ZR series, for a number of years. It was a DV-based tape camera. And, of course, as time has moved forward, we're now utilizing a lot of high-definition video cameras. Our preferred camera of choice these days is a Sanyo Exacti VPC FH1A. It's a high-definition, 1080p digital video camera that records to a compact flash card. And so we utilize these cameras when we're creating iMovies. And for a number of years, you know, all the rage was flip cameras. But having produced video, instructional videos for a number of years, I've always preferred the handheld cameras, because if you've ever used one of the flip cameras, you know, the orientation for that guy is, you know, you're holding it. As compared to a handheld camera, so if I'm videoing with this guy, I can get stabilization, and I can pan, and I can tilt, and I can zoom, so I have much greater control over the quality of the video that I create. And, you know, we purchased a number of these flip video cameras, but our students were not utilizing them because they found that when the students went out with the handheld, the quality of what they were bringing back was more stable and not so jerky. And it's very rare in our facility now that we utilize these guys. But we have about, I think, a couple hundred of these guys, and they're in and out all the time. And again, one of our rules is, you know, can these guys go in and out and come back without repair? And I think in a couple of years we've been using them, we've had no issues with them, and they seem to work very well for us. So the Canon Exacti.
Carl,
yes.
Is it shooting a good format that iMovie likes? Because that's an issue.
Mm-hmm. So it wasn't so much the camera. I think it was iMovie's interface. But in iMovie 11, and actually 10 and 11, this guy sees this camera and just brings it right in the way that we always expect it. So the problem, the question was, you know, does it shoot in a format that iMovie likes? And for a couple of years, the problem was with iMovie in the capture space. You had to copy the movie off to the desktop. You had to do some conversion and bring it back in. This guy goes right into iMovie sweetly and elegantly. And the high definition capability. We have some high end high definition cameras for when we're creating content for the college's website. And we did a little comparison where we shot with this guy and we shot with that $4,000 Canon digital video camera, and we couldn't tell the difference. So it's a mate. Well, actually, there is a way to tell the difference, but to the naked eye, no difference between this guy and that $5,000 high-end, high-def Canon digital camera. Now, of course, the high-definition, high-end camera has some capabilities that this guy can't. So if you're like using, if you have a studio and you're doing television production, you know, you can plug those guys very easily into a mixer and switcher. And these are primarily what I would consider student-teacher use cameras. But the quality is exceptional.
Okay. What about with the PC?
PC? Same. It's again, depending if you're using Movie Maker, this guy imports right into Movie Maker also. Mm-hmm. So the next little toy. So if you were not here yesterday, anyone have an idea of what might be in this little bag? Someone who wasn't here yesterday. This is a Pico data video projector. Pocket projector. And this guy can be used in conjunction with your iPod Touch to play video. And I remember when I first started in this business, there's a huge data video projector that's mounted in the ceiling in the back that's throwing this image. Most of them were about that size, and they cost about $25,000. And, of course, in those days, you know, there were three lenses. And it's just amazing now that we can have that kind of capability brought to us in iPod Touch and a little video projector. So I'm thinking, one of the things this guy does requires complete room darkening. And obviously it's pretty bright in here. But if I come over to the wall, you should be able to see. And it may be too bright here. Oh, there we go. And then focus. And it's there's just too much light here. But real world use of this guy, we have a, in our exercise science program, we have a teacher who's doing skills for soccer students in the afternoon. And he was in a variety of different locations. There was always a problem with, you know, trying to find a computer and data video projector for him to show the videos that were skills that he was trying to teach. And this became his solution. And I imagine one day, in the not-too-distant future, when students are creating, as they are already, their own content, their own podcasts, their own videos, they're shooting digital images. You come home and say, parents say, well, what'd you do today? Pull out my little pocket projector and my iPod Touch and let me show you what I did today. And here it is from this little device. So the Optima PK-101. There's actually a little more advanced version. This guy, it's around $500, and basically what it does is it's a brighter output. But a neat little save your life data video projector if you needed one. Mobile learning devices. So I've for a number of years in the graduate course that I teach, and Wes can attest to this, I'm huge for video conferencing. I remember years and years ago, Apple had a video called Knowledge Navigator. And they talked about a time when we would be able to video conference around the world, and that would be easy, and we'd be able to collaborate and do all of these really neat things. And that was computer-based. And I realized, I guess, that dream a few years ago when Apple first introduced iChat, and a lot of my colleagues I chat with almost every semester on a number of occasions. I've invited Margie Delaney to talk to my graduate course about the realities of being a technology director for a school system and a lot of the things that I think teachers need to know. Well, we always had to do that computer-based. Well, this is the newest iPod Touch, and it has FaceTime. And so what I'm going to do is I'm using the Wi-Fi, I'm going to call Margie. And I actually had it set up to call her cell phone. So it's ringing, and it may take a little time based on the network that we're using, but it says that it's connecting. And now with a handheld Wi-Fi based device, there's Margie. So that's to say, you want to flip this guy so she can out of the way. So you can say hello there, now she can see. So there's a little flip there, and so she's waving at you guys now. And so now, now you took it back to slow this down. One of the most powerful uses of this technology, and even though Margie's in our space, Wes and I had the opportunity about a year ago to do a conference in Shanghai, China. And one of the things as a teacher I've always wanted to do was to teach my course from another continent. And so we awakened very early one morning, and from my hotel room, and we were in Shanghai, I believe, we chatted with my graduate class for about 2 hours. And I invited a couple of the professors from the university, and Wes and another good friend of mine, and it was the most interesting, one of the most interesting and powerful uses of this technology I've ever experienced. And I guess it was so great they featured it in our university magazine. So now we have the ability, we're using just everyday technology to do this type of production. I want my computer to die. So anyway, we'll say goodbye to Margie, but now a handheld device, two-way video conferencing, which we can do anywhere on planet Earth. So hey, thanks, Margie. Thanks. Okay. Okay. And so we just did the FaceTime demo. One of the other useful little products that we have, when you're doing these mobile devices, we probably have 200 iPod touches, and we have a range of older iPods that we use in a variety of different ways. And if students are going out to podcast and they're recording for long periods of time, one of the situations you run into, especially with multiple use for these devices that are coming in and out of our facility, is battery. And so we utilize this guy, the little Griffin, a USB battery pack, and it's pretty straightforward. You plug it into your USB outlet on your computer, and then when it's time, you go out in the field and your battery on your iPod or iPod Touch or iPhone begins to die, we just use that interface, and this guy provides up to 6 hours of additional battery power to those devices. So really neat little capability that has empowered now our students to do longer recordings or be away from us if you don't have a car adapter or anything. And it's kind of neat. So it's pocket size. So Griffin USB battery pack. Lots of presentations have been conducted here, iPad, and we're of course huge iPad users and iPod Touch and all those different mobile devices. And I was talking with the team of people that work with me, and we wanted to look around to find an alternative or something that was potentially up and coming that could potentially play in our world, education, and be comparable to the iPad. And one of the devices that we came up with and we found is the Samsung Galaxy Tablet. And it's a little pricey. This guy's $599, but it is the same look and feel and interface as an iPad. And I think as of last Thursday, now they have the Android Market. So if you're familiar with iTunes and the App Store for downloading applications, it's very similar interface, very similar in lots of ways to the iPad, but of course smaller. So if you have a jacket pocket, it can fit in your jacket pocket, which you can't do. I think it's a 7-inch screen. And of course, as we looked closer, of course, iPad and Apple Store have been up there, so there's significantly more education apps for the iPad than this device, but I expect in time, there will be a comparable number of apps that are available, for this device as there are for the iPad. So if you're not an Apple fan, and I realize that some people aren't, then this might be a nice alternative for you to take a look at the Samsung Galaxy Tab. Okay, and of course, there are a number of presos here that talk about the iPad and all of its uses in education. There was a session just before this one with special needs populations, and so I won't talk about that. But now I would like to just open the floor for any questions that you might have about any of the tools that I've shown today or any other questions that you might have, because you know, it's impossible for me to show all of the tools that we use, but we are very multimedia rich in our college in terms of our creation. Yes, ma'am.
Do you have a trauma institute or some other place that they feel now
Well, actually, not in the state of Tennessee, but I am one of the, I'm on the advisory board and one of the principals in the Florida Master Digital Educator Program. And in the summer, you can look on the web and find this. For the last 5 years, we've trained about 4,000 teachers throughout the state of Florida. It is a fee-based program, but it's designed to enhance a teacher's multimedia creation and web utilization skills, and we do those parallel. So there's Mac and a PC institute, but they run simultaneously. And so this set of applications that we use, or if you're doing Movie Maker on the PC, use iMovie on the Mac, you can use Audacity for podcasting on the PC and a GarageBand podcast, and so we've done that, but we don't offer that in Tennessee. The problem is my summers are so busy, so it's easier for me to just pop into Florida for a couple of weeks and do that. So the answer at Tennessee Tech, not yet, but maybe soon. Yes?
Is there any kind of a microphone that, like, if you're outside with kids, videoing, any kind of microphone that would help with the sound while you're videoing outside?
So one of the things, and I didn't mention that feature about this camcorder, we purchase camcorders that have external microphone capabilities. And so this does have an external microphone capability. We can buy like a lavalier from Radio Shack, even the most inexpensive one. But you'd want it to have a noise filter. And so if you look at this guy, it would look
just like this guy.
Plug
with a little,
that
yeah.
into that?
Yeah, so you plug this into the camcorder, and that gives you a more high-quality sound. I forgot to mention that. We encourage our students when they go out videotaping that if they're doing interviews to always use an external lavalier microphone.
You don't have any recommendations on those?
Sony's, I mean, you know, you can just find them on the web. There's really not a lot of difference in the ones that I would recommend for schools. $50 to $100 is probably going to get you a good one. But then when you start looking at more high-end ones, names like Telex, Telex is a brand that we used for our more high-end video production. Sony, again, we have a variety of these. Some are wireless, so sort of like what I'm doing. You have a transmitter and a log, and then back at the camcorder, there's a little receiver box that just plugs into the audio input on this guy. And then that allows you to be, you know, free. You don't have to be tied close to the person. Sony makes a great one of those, and even Radio Shack. And we've not found a significant difference in either of those.
GarageBand, how do you recommend introducing that, using that in different classes, and how do you all go about encouraging its use?
Okay, so one of the things that happens in terms of the whole music creation piece, and my lecture about that is, you know, it's easy to pirate someone's music. And oftentimes students do that. But in this course, we talk about copyright, and we actually create a unit where students are, they go out and research copyright in the education space. So for those of you who do this, you know that you can legitimately use 30 seconds of any song, or not more than like 10% of the total compilation, but that's typically not enough. So our use of GarageBand, and if you ever get to play with any of these music creation tools, they allow you great flexibility with very little musical knowledge. For example, in GarageBand, there's Make a Magic GarageBand song. And one of the things that I do when I demonstrate that, and I don't know what kind of time do I have remaining.
You're way over.
I'm over. Oops, I'm sorry. there's a Make a Magic GarageBand song, and you just... So I'll tell you what, I'm going to be around, and I know there's a closing session, so I'll answer any of those questions because I know you need to go. But I'm sorry for running over, but I'll try to trim that.
Moving at the Speed of Creativity podcasts are independently produced and syndicated for a global audience by Wesley Fryer and are shared under a Creative Commons Attribution 2.5 license. Learn more at www.speedofcreativity.org.